Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunniest side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like to reach the...
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
How are you?
That's a cute
shirt.
Happy
Tuesday.
Yeah,
thank
happy
you.
Tuesday. Oh, it's a little puppy dog on
yeah,
your shirt.
It's from Target.
I love those Target, mm-hmm. like antique-y.
Target is the best. Vintage for like
t-shirts.
$10.
Yeah. Going there today.
You should pick up a vintage shirt.
I'll pick it up on my way to get the Lysol and the Clorox.
So we did Patreon. We did things a little bit backwards and well, you know what? We'll say that in a minute.
Yeah,
first, let's
talk
about every plate.
Yes.
Every single plate. Every plate.
I love every plate.
Me too.
We make it, I mean, twice a week at our house. They've been sending it to us and, well, I guess Matt subscribed to it. But we've been getting their recipes and all the ingredients that come along with it. And it's really, I mean, I have to say, it is easy to do and it's delicious.
Yeah.
It really
absolutely.
Is. I mean, no, I'm not kidding.
No. And you know what I love about it, too, is it's cheaper than even going to my favorite place.
It's
Pollo Loco.
I know.
I hate to say it, but it's less expensive and it's fresher,
yeah.
more delicious food.
Yes, it is. I mean, we had like a shrimp taco thing.
Mm.
They sent all different kinds of recipes. I mean, it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah.
And you guys can try it, too, by the way. Not
sure
just
can.
Us.
Sure can.
And also, by the way, it's quick and easy. It's done in like 30 minutes. It doesn't take forever. It's
no.
like literally done.
And you know my favorite thing is that they send you all the ingredients so that if you're making a recipe with a bunch of spices that you would never normally use, they just send you the spices you need.
That's right.
Individually. They don't go like, hey, get your own crazy Indian spice.
Exactly.
That you've never heard
exactly.
of. That you don't even know where to get.
So you guys can get 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks and free shipping on your first delivery.
That's
if you
great.
Go to everyplate.com and enter FCOL 6, okay, because you'll get 6 free meals. So it's FCOL 6, okay, when you put in the code. And try it. And this offer equates to 1/3 of each of your first 3 boxes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you really got to try it. We love it. And you'll get first for 6 free meals. You can't beat that. 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks and free shipping. So go to everyplate.com and enter FCOL 6.
Do it. All right.
What's going on with you, Steph?
I had a really great weekend.
You did?
Well, I didn't, but my kids did.
Yeah?
And
what'd
that's,
they do?
That's what counts.
That's what counts.
At this point in life.
Of course.
It's like I'm obsessed with my children's social life,
yeah.
as you know.
Yeah.
And a miracle happened.
What happened?
2 miracles happened.
What?
Yeah. You're going to love this. You're going to.
Go.
Okay. So do you remember that Sadie had a friend that she had like a good friend?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in 3rd grade and in 4th grade, beginning of 4th grade? 3rd grade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's annoying when people do that. It doesn't matter when it was, Lynette. Why are you so stickler for the details?
Yeah, yeah.
The point is that in like around 3rd grade, she had a bestie for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And remember she went to – they took her to Great Wolf Lodge.
Yes, I remember
with her friend.
That.
And it was a great friendship. And over that summer, they were sleeping at each other's houses.
Yeah.
And, you know, a girl that could like do sleepovers. And everything
right.
was really great. And then all of a sudden it felt like – the girl was like hanging out with other kids.
Yeah, I kind of remember.
And
that.
Sadie was so sad about it. And
yeah.
And Sadie acted kind of tough about it,
mm-hmm.
if you recall at the time. She was like, it's all right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she sort of started bonding with talkies.
Right.
So then I started working that angle as hard as I could.
Yeah.
To help take the sting out of the fact that. And do you remember that I would tell you, and maybe I told you on Patreon, that I would text the mom sometimes and try to hold back from doing it, but be like, did something happen?
Right.
Like, I would ask for play dates all the time. And she just either wouldn't respond or would always be like, oh, sorry, she's busy.
Right. I remember that.
And then I was like, did something happen? Right. And then she didn't really respond and I just couldn't.
I ghosted you.
Anyway, that friendship is back and better than ever.
Oh, see, I love that.
I guess just waiting it out. All of
it's
a sudden,
changed.
She started saying, I've been hanging out with so-and-so, and we've really been – oh, because for a while she would say, can I have a play date with so-and-so? Well, her name's not so-and-so.
What's her
weirdly.
Name?
Her name is – let's call her Lulu.
Okay.
So she'd say, can I have a play date with Lulu? And mm-hmm. I got to the point where I was like, yeah, that's up to her.
Right.
Honestly, like I'm not reaching out to her mom
yeah.
anymore.
Right.
So if Lulu wants to have a play date with you, she can ask her mom and her mom could reach out to me.
Yeah.
And
good.
Say, hey, Lulu wants to have a play date with Sadie. Can we set it up?
Good.
Which she's not going to do.
Right.
Because she – but I didn't say
– yeah.
I was just like, yeah, talk to Lulu. If she wants to do it, then you can do it.
Right.
So they made a plan on their own, thank God, because they're fifth graders now.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, so Lulu – oh, she said, so Lulu Lulu wants to come over on Monday. This was last Monday. And I said, okay, like, let me hear from her mom. Then she tells me, oh, Lulu's mom says Thursday would be better because you guys will have more time together.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back on what I said and I just texted the mom and I was like – but I was very – I was just like so – am I taking Lulu home on Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote back, that would be great. I'll pick her up at 6:30. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. This shit is on my Donkey Kong. You know?
Uh-huh.
So then they had this massive play date. I hate that we still call them play dates.
I know.
But it is what they call it.
Whatever.
Yeah. So Thursday, the little girl came home with us. Lulu came home with us. And I swear to God, it was like no time passed. They had a great time. I took them to Michael's because
uh-huh.
they wanted – because, you know, I become like the
– crafts.
I become like the mom in Mean Girls where I'm just like, hi, girls. Like,
trying to be cool mom.
Oh, you want to go to Michael's? Of course. Get in the car. Like, should we go to yogurt after?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's, I just – I can't – I hate myself.
I know.
But I just –
but what else? I know.
I'm trying to, like, make it as amazing as
yes.
possible. I just
– every mother knows that, I think.
Yeah.
I think every
come
mom,
on. Hop in the car.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right, right, right.
What songs do you guys want to listen
right,
to?
Yeah, right.
And – but – Lulu says, Sadie, how come we stopped being friends all of a sudden?
Really?
Yeah. And I was so proud of Sadie. She fucking was so cool about it. She just said, she was like, she goes, I don't know, maybe because we were in different classes in fourth grade.
Aww,
I was in this class and you were
awesome.
In that class. And she's like, yeah, maybe. She goes, they should just know that we were friends and they should have put us in the same class because
mm-hmm.
they should have seen like what good friends we are. In my mind, I'm like, bitch, you totally ditched my kid.
Yeah,
that
I know.
It didn't have anything to do
with it. You want to turn around and backhand her.
But I was like, I just listened and I was so happy and I was so glad that Sadie was not acting
right.
needy or
yeah.
grateful that
right.
she was back in her life. She was just very cool
Sadie's
about it.
Personality,
no.
is it? No.
So they had but I'm telling you, Lynette, I hadn't heard so much laughing because Sadie is just – she is very picky about who she wants to be friends with. And
mm-hmm.
she's told me. She's like, I want to feel comfortable with them. I want them to have personality and be funny.
Yeah.
Because
totally.
There's – so
– it's hard to find too.
So hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a great time. They were laughing and just having a best time. And then at the end, they both were saying, we want to have a sleepover this weekend, which I was like, sure, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll
mm-hmm.
cancel any plans that I had to accommodate
right.
that.
Right.
And John's the same way. John's
yeah.
like, oh, they want to have a sleep. Of course.
Yes. Like, I know, because it keeps them busy.
Yeah, but so the mom – so according to Sadie and Lulu, Lulu had already asked her mom and she'd said yes. But when her mom came over to pick her up, she was like, so we want to have a sleepover on Saturday. And at first her mom was like, okay, well, I was going out Saturday night and so-and-so was going to babysit. But I mean, if you want to – I was like, I'm happy to host. It's fine
mm-hmm.
with me.
Mm-hmm.
So she came Saturday at like around 4,
mm-hmm.
stayed – they had the greatest time. They were laughing. They both dyed their hair blue. So it's the cutest thing. Sadie did it. They both did it on their own, dyed
uh-huh.
their hair the same
uh-huh.
color.
Uh-huh.
It's very – so they look like sisters.
Aww.
And then they –
so did they do it together at your house or she went home and did it?
No, it was over the break.
Oh, so
Sadie
It was a
independently, it was a coincidence.
Wow.
Dyed her hair blue, and they both dyed it this like weird blue green with like shades of green in it too, mm-hmm. and showed up at school with the same hair.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And anyway, so it was the cutest plate sleepover. She's a delightful kid.
Yeah.
She's super funny.
Yeah.
And has personality.
Yeah.
Like,
don't you love that?
But not naughty or.
Right.
She's not walking around the house with a muffin, but she's. But they're. And they did stuff together. They, like. You know how I used to say that the kids used to watch Matt Stefanino on YouTube?
Yeah,
he's like a dance
guy
and learn dances.
Yeah.
They choreographed the dance. They wrote a song together. I don't know. They watched some TV like later on. Maybe they watched him. Anyway, they had a great time. The whole next day, played together the entire day. The girl didn't go home till like 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And I couldn't have been happier about it.
Wow. That's
awesome. And Sadie
awesome.
Was in a great mood the whole time. She's sort of like back to – she seemed like her old self again. It's all about these friendships.
I know.
Oh, also, really quick – okay, so remember I was telling you also about Xander mm-hmm. having one friend that he was really focused on wanting to have play dates with, and every time I would text, it was the same thing. I would either – it was always excuses.
It was the dad one?
And the last time
– that was Sadie's.
No, these are – they're not even like overprotective. No, and it's not anybody that doesn't like him. It was just I couldn't understand
mm-hmm.
why – they were always saying no to play dates. And I got to the same point with him where I'm like, I'm not going to ask anymore.
Right.
And I feel like I might have talked about this last week because I had texted – can – let's just call him Ari.
Okay.
So I had said, is Ari available for a play date? And the mom wrote back, oh, my gosh, he's under the weather, whatever. She's like, I know. We're going to have to get them. One of these days we'll get them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so irritated that I just wrote back, haha, that's very doubtful.
You said that?
Yeah, because I've probably asked 15, 20 times with him never being available and she's never reached out to me. Out of fucking nowhere, I got a text, hey – Ari, we were going to go bowling.
Uh-huh.
This was like Friday, last
Wait,
Friday.
Did she respond to your ha-ha? That's
never responded. Never. But out of
Dang.
Nowhere, she wrote, hey, we were going to go bowling, and does Xander want to come? I text Xander. And she's like, we're leaving tomorrow at 9:45. We'd love for him to join us. So I text Xander, hey, you know, Ari wants to know if you want to go bowling. And he wrote back, hell yes.
Uh-huh.
He was so excited. They took him for the whole day. He went to their house. They couldn't have been nicer when I came over. And she was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, we're just – oh, it's like – it's crazy. They have three kids.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, it's always something with one of their activities or family stuff. And every time you text, it's like, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. See, there's a combination of that. There's also a combination like for Sadie's friend. Like I think you got to just like – they go through these stages, you know, like that girl becomes a little biatch. And then all of a sudden now it's like a year later and she's in sixth grade and she's nice again. You know, like they go through these stages. Even my kids go through stages. So,
yeah, the only
the
thing
best
is
when they
and I did want to talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lulu.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in fifth grade.
Right.
So next year starts middle school. And apparently Lulu's mom is going to homeschool her.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah, and I posted this on Facebook. I told everybody this was after our last recording. The kids came home last week. They were so miserable. This was pre-playdate.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to me, Mom, can we talk to you? Yeah.
Both of them?
Both of them came in. They're like, we want to talk to you about something. And I was like, uh-oh. What's it going to be? And in my mind, I was pretty sure they were going to say, we want our own room. And we figured out some – I don't know what they were going to come up with. We don't
right.
have the space for them to have their own room right now.
Right, right, right.
So we have a three-bedroom
mm-hmm.
house
mm-hmm.
and Elby's in a bedroom and she always has been. And
mm-hmm.
then the twins share a room.
Yeah.
And we – John and I share a room.
Yeah.
And then we don't even have really an office because when we built
mm-hmm. –
when we knew we were having twins, we built – like we expanded a little bit to a big – like a playroom
right.
with built-in desks in the playroom.
Uh-huh.
So it's
kind of
like our desk.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like our office. So There's nowhere that we have to move.
You can't make that an extra
bedroom?
No,
it's open. It's like a – it's got a big archway and you just – it's open space.
Right.
So, you know, we'd have to move.
You want Adam to come over?
I'm not saying we wouldn't move, but right now we're not – it's not happening. So even by the time – anyway, so that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And I was expecting maybe Sadie to go, maybe I could share a room with I don't know. But I was like bracing myself for that.
Right.
And they're like, we know you're probably going to say no, but we just and they're both looking at me with these big eyes that are already starting to look glassy.
Mm.
And I was like, what is up? And they're like, we were thinking for next year that we would like to be homeschooled. And I was like, what? And they're like, listen, you know, Lulu's going to do it. Her mom already said. And, you know, we just feel – and here's all of our reasons. We have a whole plan. Well, first of all, then we wouldn't have to, like, worry about all of, like, the people that are not our friends. Like, we wouldn't have to worry about that. And we could learn at our own pace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wouldn't have to get really stressed out by having to, you know, homework and having to keep up with everybody. And, you know, and we would just – we could – wake up a little bit later and be able to, like, you know,
focus.
Learn and focus and not have to – anyway, we hate school and it's making us sad. And, oh, my God, all good points.
I know. That's good.
All good points.
Yeah.
But then they started – and then they started kind of crying a little bit about, like, school just makes us so sad and neither one of us likes school and we just feel so sad and lonely when we're at school. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, my God. Stephanie,
parenting
that's
moment.
I know.
So this is what I said to them. I don't know what you would have said, but I had to think fast.
Yeah.
Because plus, as some of our listeners pointed out, I freaking opened the door for that by being like, do I need to homeschool you to Sadie? But I said, okay, here's the thing. I said, you guys, I totally understand where you're coming from. And I, too, have hated school.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but – and I want you guys to be happy and to be in an environment where you can learn. So I'm not saying that, like, I'm not saying no to that just as in, like, no, never.
Right.
I don't care if you're unhappy.
Right.
I said, but I do feel like I'm dedicated. I don't feel like being home is the answer to struggling with your social life.
Right.
I said, I feel like it, you know, it's going to be better and worse in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I think you need to learn how to function in a school environment. That's not to say that this school is the right school for you.
Right.
Maybe we need to change schools, but maybe I need to send you to private school. I don't know what that answer is right this moment, but I'm dedicated to helping figure that out.
Right.
But I said, I feel like homeschooling is a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
That's when nothing else is working. You know,
right.
When we try another school and we try to put you with more kids so that you have friends and you start enjoying it more. And then if that doesn't work, we maybe try to find like a private school or something, you know.
Right.
I go, and then if that doesn't work, if you're just miserable, then we look at homeschooling. But I don't feel like that's our first line of attack. I feel like there's so many things that you learn by going to school that you cannot possibly learn at home with just each other.
Right. And then you got to go –
And
what
then
do you think? I'm going to fucking teach you?
Well, that's what I said. I go, then I got to bring in a teacher. Oh, they're like, well, we could go to Lulu's house sometimes and sometimes we could do it here. And I was like, you know, I work. I mean, you don't see it happening. A lot of it goes on in my head.
Uh-huh.
But you know what I mean? I was like, bitch, please, child, please. Like, that is a lot of coordinating of your social life that I have to do.
I know. No.
But I did feel really bad that they're
unhappy.
So,
that's so horrible. Like, that's the last – as a parent, that's not the kind of conversation you want to hear from your fifth graders.
No, and I also feel like last year
I think
I was ready to pull Sadie out of school. I mean, it was so – she was so unhappy all of the time that I was ready to put her at that other school. Remember?
Yeah,
and then they lost their charter.
Right.
And so I had to send her back to this school.
Right.
No, they're not being bullied.
You don't think that there's anything else? It's just the social.
I think that they don't feel like they have a group of friends that they look forward to seeing and that they have
fun. That's
the
problem.
At school. I don't think school is fun for them at all. I think of all the schools they could be in, they're in a good school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are a lot of rules. I think my kids, They have a fucking great time at home.
The thing is, I know, that's the other thing. Like Sir Ken Robinson, who Jody, my friend, worked for years, went around the world talking about how the United States school, just the school system is broken. And kids don't all learn at the same pace. And also the social stuff. It's just there's so much that needs to be fixed.
I agree.
And also, you're not going to have kids that are going to want to, there's kids that are not going to want to go to college, they're not equipped to sit in the classroom. But there was one of the guys here went to military, and he grew up in Milwaukee. He went to military. His dad put him in military school. And I said – and he goes, it was great. And I said, why was it great? And he said, because they understood that kids need to – especially boys, need to run around and get all their energy out when they get to school. They need to get all their energy out. So he said that the first 2 hours was like PE, and it was free time mixed with structured activities. Okay, for the first 2 hours from like 8 to 10:30, then they had a recess, and then they went into the classroom. So by then, when they went to the classroom, the brains were awake. They were sitting down. They weren't antsy. They weren't sleepy. They were – that was like the most optimal time.
Optimus is good too.
Optimus. I should have went to school. Nice, easy. So it was the right time for them to – their brain to absorb.
Yeah, I agree. And there's so many studies that say – well, there's studies that say that homework is not helpful.
Not until kids don't learn. Right, right.
Okay. There's also so many studies that say that we start the school day too early.
Too early.
The kids are not ready
to
learn.
Right.
Yeah. So it's oppressive. Half the reason that my kids don't want to go to school is because they have to wake up so early.
I know. It's like – I know. My kids too.
And it sets off their day in a bad way.
Right.
And I also think that, yes, they are bored all day in school.
And also – like
in their case, it's too structured, I think.
The other thing too, like Sir Ken Robinson I think said it, is that like the social life is tough because on one hand you have to find the right sweet spot, because if you have a kid that's kind of – a loner or can't find the right people, then they're sad and then they don't want to go to school because they don't have anybody to look forward to. Or you could go the opposite, where you got too many distractions and all you want to do is be with your friends and meet in the hallway and, ditch class or whatever. There's just like – it's such a range. Like it's hard it's in a tough time too, like when you're growing and – especially like middle school years is a tough time. It's tough. And the system does need to be more accommodating and more realistic and not so archaic.
I agree. And you know what I think would be really cool that they should do at school? Because school shouldn't just be about like reading and writing and math. It should be if going to school, if one of the points of going to school, because reading and writing and math you could just do at home, online, right? You could. The reason you go to school, I think, is because there's should be a more dynamic environment and you're
structured.
Learning skills of working and getting along with others.
Right.
So in keeping with that, how come they don't have way more like – I don't want to say games, but activities about character, about – not just teaching it in a little lecture, but like doing games that you would do, say, in like Girl Scouts, where you would have them write down something they don't like about themselves.
Right,
and then, or having everybody in class write down something they like about you.
They did that.
Or
at our
putting
school.
Them in little groups and having them like work on
Forget
friendship stuff.
Right,
and
right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like learn how to get along with other people. Learn how to work together.
Yeah, and find things that you like about the actual people that are in your class so that you can start forming different friendships maybe and getting to know people that you might not – that you've never really spent time or partnered with,
Yes. You know what? You're exactly right. And one teacher I know that did that was Mrs. P, the one I wanted to give the Rose McGowan Award to. That I loved. And she was Sunny's second grade teacher. And she had like the first week she has everybody – I don't know if it was the first week. But she had everybody write something nice about you know, a sentence about each kid in the class. And then she would mix them up and have like Sonny sit with a couple girls because that's not who he would choose. You know, first she'd let them choose who do you want to work with on this task. Okay. And then the next week, all right, now I'm going to choose for you who you're going to work. And it was all kids that normally he wouldn't have chosen. And turns out he made, you know, nice friendships with those people and learned how to work together as a group. Okay, you do this and I'll do this. You know, it's just – it's tough. School's tough. But homeschool – I was homeschooled for fifth and – no, no. I was homeschooled third grade.
You were? Why?
Fourth grade. What? I've told you that.
You did not tell me you were homeschooled.
Yeah. I went with I was homeschooled with Jamie Farr's son. Remember, you know, Jamie Farr from MASH?
Oh, yeah. So that was before you started at the alternative school?
Oh, yeah. That was like – it was elementary. It definitely was elementary. And I remember sitting in their little makeshift classroom and I was sitting at the desk and I was wearing a purple sweater. I'll never forget. And I looked down and my little boobies were sitting on top of the desk. And I was going, oh, my God, I'm getting boobs. That's when – so what? It was like maybe fourth grade, fifth grade.
So why were you homeschooled?
My dad was insane. My dad didn't like the school system. Like he didn't like public school system.
Oh, yeah. It's coming back to me. Mm-hmm.
He called my violin teacher an asshole.
Right.
Because I broke a string. I took the violin home and broke a string.
So you were homeschooled for that whole year?
So
– and why were you at a classroom? Where was the classroom?
It wasn't – it was like a makeshift – it was like, you know, there was like two, three tables set up and there was like six of us. And it was like Jamie Farr's son and then like – I don't know. I can't remember like couple other kids. And I don't remember what I learned. I just remember that Jamie Farr had a dog that was deaf and blind.
So you would go to each other's houses basically?
Yes. Never to my house but to his house for a while and then we went to another kid's house for a while.
And was there a teacher?
There was a teacher and I don't remember if it was a parent or a teacher.
See,
or
this is
what.
Just weird because then that's not really homeschool.
No, I know. It's not, right?
House school.
This is the 80s. So I was – yeah, I was at – it was like six kids. It was like a bunch of parents wanting to take their kids out of the public school. And so they decided to homeschool in each other's houses.
Right.
That's what it was.
That's what Sadie and Xander want to do.
Yeah.
That's their dream. Homeschool like
– I could get a hold of Jamie Farr.
With a couple of kids they like.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, look. It's not the worst idea ever.
It's not. No,
I mean, for me.
I know.
Look. Full honesty here.
Yeah.
For me, it would actually be fun. I mean, it would be easy.
Right.
Go drop my kids off at just at someone's house and they have a great day every day.
I know.
And they just go to the museum or do shit with moms that have the time to do
that
are also down with this homeschooling thing.
Godspeed. Yeah.
But they're not coming to my house.
No, I know. I know. You know,
nothing
you'll get roped
worse.
Into taking them one day to a museum or to a field trip to like Olvera Street or something. But
I just think they learn a lot. I mean, okay.
But then there's
going to school and having homework. Okay, I know I just said it, having homework's bad. But having, let's just say, having expectations is really important, I think. Because I know a lot of people are going to say this, and it's true. You know, how do you learn to get along at work? I mean, I said to them, I've had jobs where I did not care for my coworkers or my boss. And you have to learn to tolerate that.
Yes. Now, that's funny because I was just going to say, on the flip side, you get the kid that my kids grew up with from 0 to 5. My kids went off to kindergarten. They moved to Europe because they were free-spirited.
Right.
And then –
isn't this the one that came back and that you had to find a gift and put it in a Trader Joe's bag?
And yes. So then he comes back to visit.
Right.
And he's visited like maybe 2 times, once a year he comes, visits. Then the second year came around and Natalia was like, do I have to hang out with this kid too? Because – let's call him Ashton. Do I have to hang out with Ashton too? Because it's like he never grew up.
Right.
You know, he still wants to play Cowboys and Indians. He goes, pew, 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 pew. He makes that sound and Sonny starts laughing. He goes, yeah, he does do that. He goes, pew, 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 pew.
Right.
I heard him do that, by the way. And he was 8. And he's still doing that? Like it was haram. It was like the kid never had any friends. He doesn't have friends. And when he comes to California, he wants to see Sonny and Natalia so bad. And I feel so terrible because Sonny and Natalia, Sonny will see him, but Natalia's like 2 years now in a row. She's blown him off. And like he had his birthday party at our house. I had to go get the Trader Joe bag to put his, you know, gift in. But he does. He's not. He's still like an arrested development, the kid. He's not.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't, maybe he's not homeschooled the right way. I'm guessing not.
Right. You know? I mean, I'm sure there are situations because mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to shit on homeschooling for people that it right. works for.
Right.
And I'm sure it does work
yeah.
in a situation where you have time and they are given structure, some mm-hmm. structure. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that – and this would be the way that – the only way I would consider doing it in my – I'm just saying in my brain would
right.
be they would still have to have structure. They would have to socialize with other kids. They would do it mm-hmm. with other kids. Let's just say I had the time or energy to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the kind of thing where they're just either unschooled, you know,
yeah.
where they're just in a situation where like, just follow what you like to do,
right.
which I know kids that do that. It's not for me.
Right.
It's not for my kids because what my kids would feel like doing is
nothing.
Right.
No.
They're not going to feel like
of course not.
Being like self-led and go read a book.
Oh, what?
None of my kids, not even LB,
well,
not even my floor model LB
right.
is ever
no.
goes like, you know what I want to do? Read a book.
No.
That's not going to happen.
No.
So
and
they
even
don't
with
that
adults,
wouldn't work.
That doesn't happen. If you tell an adult, just do whatever you want. Who's going to want to like – it's hard to structure yourself and
right.
discipline yourself.
Right.
Kids aren't going to do it.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I noticed that from having had jobs where – you know, first of all, school was a giant shit show for me. So
mm-hmm,
I am
me too.
Looking at it from the prism of like, no, you're right. School's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of structure did not help me. And I think my parents would have been better off like changing my school, putting me in a private somewhere
yeah,
where my school sucked. The teachers all sucked. I didn't really have friends. I didn't learn anything in school. I don't feel
yeah,
like I did.
Yeah, I know. Me neither.
But you know what did teach me was having a job that I enjoyed but that was still hard and I still had deadlines and
yes.
pressure
yeah.
and meetings that were, you know, not optional,
right.
having to be accountable.
Right.
That taught me that if you want something and you want to get better, you have to learn.
Yes.
And you have to look at yourself and
right.
figure out what you're – I mean, I'll never forget – I have told this story on the podcast, but I'll never forget my first job where I would write a joke and
mm-hmm.
think it was pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And then fight for it in meetings where we'd pitch material.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, but. And I'll never forget my boss, who was super cool guy,
mm-hmm.
not an asshole,
mm-hmm.
but taking me aside and being like, you have to stop. Like, you
mm-hmm.
have to stop fighting for your jokes. Because
mm-hmm.
when they say no, or when I say no, or
mm-hmm.
the boss says no, you
mm-hmm.
move on.
Right.
Like, there's no – it's never going to work and it makes people angry
yeah.
and it's not professional
right.
and move on.
Right.
And I fucking hated that. I hated him in that moment.
Yeah.
I hated that advice. It was so hard for me to do because
yeah.
I hadn't learned
right.
a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Best advice I ever got. I don't always follow it, but it was really good advice
yeah.
because
yeah.
you have to figure out another way. You can't keep –
I know.
It just doesn't work.
I
and
know.
I
you
feel,
have to learn.
I feel like you learn that in school, in a good school.
Right. Yes. You got to learn. Like these – the kids, they need to learn how – and that's like Adam's – like our kids are not – they're not going off to Harvard. They're just not. They're not great students. And they just are into other things. And, you know, and Adam says like that, like school's not for everybody. School's not for them. You know, but Natalia wants to go to college. She really wants to go, but she wants to go for the social aspect.
Right.
That's it. That's all she's interested in. But they do. You do have to learn. You know, I mean, I just see like Sonny with his one like his podcast and how he takes it seriously. And he, you know, he writes a couple of things down like he brings it up to me. Like, should I talk about this? Do you think if it's can I goof on Brian, or you think he's going to get mad? Like, he thinks about it. He works on it. Then when he comes, sometimes, like, he had to take a beating from these guys. They were like, not a beating, but they were like, you know, you came in with all your talk. But now look, now who's laughing? Because, like Dylan beat Sonny 1 week. So he had to, like, take his – he didn't like it. He likes to be the winner, you know.
Right.
But he had to learn what it feels like to take your lumps in a public, in a workplace with your coworkers.
Yeah, that's so good for him.
I know. It's just it's I think you get more like I personally shit, it was a shit show for me. But what I got out of school was I think was more I say kumbaya. But because that was my school, it was like just a mixture, like it was just the culture and learning how to get along and learning how to understand other people's stories and where they come from. And I learned all that from school. I didn't learn history. I definitely didn't learn algebra. I didn't learn any of that. But as far as like getting along with other people and understanding other people and how to get along, also how to dance and how to beatbox. But that's what I learned at my
beatboxing. Don't underestimate the importance of learning to beatbox, Lynette. Just don't skate right over that. That's pretty.
I found something online a while ago, and it said like it was like a little like bio about me, Adam's wife, and it was like she was born in Cleveland. She's 100% Italian. Her parents are Italian immigrants, and then it said she's worked in the entertainment industry. And she knows how to beatbox, or she can beatbox.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what you're going to – that's in my – thanks, I
guess. Well, it's on your resume, right?
Yeah, all right.
I do think
– doesn't say anything about podcasting.
I do think there's a lot of ways to do school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure for some people homeschooling is a valid option. I'm way too lazy. Mm-hmm. I do think just to summarize, the school system is pretty broken and there's other ways. And I do believe in like different kinds of charters and magnets and different ways to do it. I just don't believe in not doing it.
Yeah.
Or necessarily – or just for me – listen, if my kids were bullied – I've said this before. I'll say it again. If my kids were getting bullied, I would take them out of school in a hot second.
Yeah.
I do not think that school is something that you just have to deal with until
right.
you know
– right.
You want to take your own life.
No.
That until it causes you deep depression. And John and I are on the same page with that. And when our kids start to show signs of like really not doing well, that's when we say, okay, what are some other options
right.
for this kid?
Right.
I mean, we were going to take her out of school, out of what I think is a great school last year because whatever, it wasn't working for her.
Right.
We couldn't come up with a better option though. But
so how did the kids take it? When you gave them that advice,
interesting thing. So they were really bummed.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed so depressed. But you have to also, or I had to realize, this was coming off of a 2-week break.
Yeah.
So they'd been having nonstop fun, no homework, no reading, just enjoying life and staying up late every night. So they were very tired, and they had been having a ton of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
This was literally like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, by Thursday, Sadie was having a play date with her friend
right.
and back to being happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her some sleep.
Yeah.
I made them go to bed early Monday night and Tuesday night.
Right.
And then they were in much better spirits, and now they're doing better.
Right. That's the thing too. Like our kids got it made in the shade. Like when you got – options. When you got a TV or you got an iPad or you got, you know, just at anything, like options. Like when we were growing up, there was no options. I had a black and white TV, a house that was a hot box, no air conditioning. It was just like, you know, so I don't know. It's like these days, I know I sound like Adam, but kids have like way too much stimulation going on. It's hard to get them to get to focus.
They do. I mean, I know this makes me sound so old too, but I had, you know, literally had three channels. I mean,
I had to.
And my mom did not let me watch TV. She was a total TV Nazi.
Real.
And I was a latchkey kid, as I've complained about, not to be an Adam. But I walked home from school with my key. I let myself in my house, in my apartment, basically. We lived in like a duplex.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I would – all I wanted to do was check out and like watch TV. I was so miserable. I didn't I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of friends. I just wanted to watch TV. I just wanted to fucking watch HR Puffin stuff and be left alone.
I know.
And eat some crackers, a sleeve of Ritz crackers and HR Puffin
stuff
or Lidsville. And I would have been so happy. But I had to sneak it. And then I had to get my TV watching in as early as possible, even though I would try to line it up with the shows.
Right.
Because it was like I wanted to watch Kimba, Speed Racer, Rocky and Bullwinkle, or what, you know, which was in the show.
What was that show? the Zoom boot Zoom review or
what
something?
What was the show that had the Fractured Fairy Tales, Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Rocky and Bullwinkle, and then in between Rocky and Bullwinkle, they did other interstitials. Yeah. Love that. Okay. But I had to watch TV early because my mom – I was allowed to watch like a half hour of TV.
Mm-hmm.
But then my mom would come home and feel the TV.
Be still, my heart. That's horrible.
Yeah. And then I would get in trouble.
That's terrible.
Yelled, screamed at, punished for if she thought that I was watched – if she – Or she'd punish me and I couldn't watch TV and then she'd feel the TV and I had to – it was
– Oh, my God.
Sneaking around to get my TV. So there was like fucking nothing to do.
I had a transistor radio.
I mean, it was terrible.
The radio. You know, I just – now you reminded me. I remember I used to love watching Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, my God. Tuesday nights, 8 to 9:30 block.
It was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company. And then it was like every now and then a sitcom that would come and go and fade. What was that one where they lived in San Francisco?
I know.
Jim J. Bullock.
Oh, my God. Kaylin.
Look up ABC Tuesday lineup. Look up Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company. Jim J. Bullock
and what show he was from. Yes, the opening was the bridge,
the San Francisco Bridge,
and it was one of a kind or
yeah,
two of a
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Not One Day at a Time, but
no.
Like,
oh, One Day at a Time was one of my favorites too. That was on CBS. But I remember Dean audio recording. What was it?
Is that Jim J. Bullock?
Oh, Too Close for Comfort.
Too Close for Comfort.
Yes, there we go. And he played a gay guy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he? He was a gay guy on the show?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So my brother Dean recorded, like, because my mother made me go to bed and I didn't want to miss the shows because those are my favorite shows. Of course, there's no VCR.
No.
None of that.
No.
Never even.
No TiVo.
No. So he would take his tape recorder and he would tape record the audio of the show.
Oh my God.
And I remember listening to, like, One Day at a Time, Laverne and Shirley, in my room at night as I would fall asleep. And I remember.
It's like the original podcast.
I know.
Just the audio. What do
Just
you need
the
picture
audio,
for?
Exactly.
You can imagine it.
Right.
You know
right.
the characters.
Right. I know the characters. I know Valerie. No. And I remember one night sitting there and I remember laughing. And then all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh, did I just pee my pants? That's when I first got my period. That I was right then and there laughing. I think I was watching Saturday Night Live on the black and white TV.
Wow.
Because it was at night and it was late. And I wake up my mom and she like threw a Tampax at me. And then said, good luck. And that was that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Audio tape recorder.
Do you remember, well, when the cassettes first came out, so then you would listen to – I would get obsessed with a song.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
I remember I really liked the song Woman by John Lennon.
Oh,
Woman,
my God. I loved
– I can hardly explain.
I love that song.
I loved it. And – you know, I was obsessive and probably an addict back then
before
I actually had something to be addicted to.
Right.
So I would be addicted to like certain songs. I had to hear it over and over and over. But you didn't have a way to – there's no iTunes.
No. Fuck
there was
that.
Not even
no,
like
no, –
so you
no.
had to either you
had
to wait for
radio.
It to come on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You had to listen to the station that played it. And
yes.
then you had to sit there. And then you had to try to catch it so that you could hit record.
Yes, of course.
On
and
your
so
radio.
You, right.
So you'd always, of course, miss the beginning.
Beginning, yeah.
Or you'd be somewhere else doing something. You'd hear the beginning. You'd
be
like –
dive for the thing.
Yeah, you'd have
diving
to go and then hit play and record
no,
at the same time.
No, for backup.
Yeah. And then you just have to hear it with the beginning cut off.
Right, with the beginning cut off. Or you'd hear like the DJ going, that was Woman by John Lennon.
And you'd be like, no!
Yeah, I know. I did the same thing. My song, I think it was Funky Town. Won't you take me to Funky
Town?
Or it was Rapture by Blondie.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't wait to get that song on tape. And then there, Atomic Dog. And then my brother... Then I got my – for I don't know how, I got a stereo. When I say stereo, I mean a record player and like a speaker that my dad helped me get set up. And then Dean, my brother, got me a 45 as like – I think it was my birthday. He got me the 45 record of Atomic Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I
– Atomic Dog.
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
Rump. Beatbox. Yeah. That was high school. It mm-hmm. was my – I spent a lot of time. I had a bedroom in the basement. Mm-hmm. So we moved from L.A. when I was 12 to Spokane, Washington.
That's right.
And we lived in this ranch house. Not a literally a ranch house, but, you know, yeah. ranch style house. It was like the biggest – I mean, it was the biggest right. place I'd ever lived.
Right.
Because when I was a kid and my mom got divorced, mm-hmm. my father, my bio father, mm-hmm. was making – bank.
Yeah, because
he was a comedian
yeah.
and he was like, I have this – I basically know that at the time that they were getting divorced, he was like kind of at the height of fame, I guess. Mm-hmm. He was headlining in Vegas mm-hmm. at Caesar's Palace, and my mom and I moved into like a one – you know, like a one-bedroom apartment.
That's amazing.
And he was
headlining
renting
in Vegas.
He was renting a house in Malibu, you know. For like whatever – I mean for tons of money.
Wow.
Living the life. And I was like living in this – like a – you know, an apartment.
Right.
I remember I lived in a – we rented a house mm-hmm. when I was maybe like four mm-hmm. on Olympic Boulevard.
Ah.
You can imagine. So Olympic Boulevard for people not from LA is like three – it's like a very giant busy street with probably three lanes of traffic on either
yes.
side.
Yeah. It's huge.
Right?
Yeah.
And we would be riding our bikes around the neighborhood,
oh,
like ride down
God.
A hill that would lead right to Olympic Boulevard. It's shocking that I never like got hit by a car
was
on my
Koreatown?
Bike.
Was it Koreatown? Like near Koreatown?
No. Like sort of by Westwood.
Oh, down that way. Oh,
yeah. Like West LA.
By UCLA.
Not
Before
really,
that.
But like just right past Westwood, past like Century City.
Oh my
on the
God.
Other on
oh,
the back
yeah,
end
yeah,
of
yeah,
Century
yeah.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So
Damn.
Yeah, basically it was not like a nice
no.
place back then.
No.
But the point is mm-hmm. that you know, we were living like not very well.
Right.
And meanwhile, my father's living like
in Malibu.
The life. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I don't really know why I brought that up.
We lived in an apartment. When we first moved to California from Cleveland, I just thought of this the other day. We lived in an apartment building, and there was a guy in the apartment building that said hello to me a couple times. And I said something to my dad, and my dad goes, You want Dean and Dave to walk? And I was like, oh, because I wanted to go down and just play handball or play with my ball, like in
right.
the courtyard or
right.
whatever. And I said, no, I'm fine. And then my dad said to me, the next time he looks at you and says hello, you tell him up yours.
Yeah,
my dad told me. I'm like, what?
Which is probably the right move, because why is that older guy saying hi to you?
He could have been like this like innocent guy. I don't
yeah,
know.
That's
like
true.
He wasn't like he was going, hey, like doing the you know,
right,
blowjob
right.
thing. Like, you know, there was a guy that flashed me in the house I grew up in Canoga Park. There was a guy that was in a red truck, and all he would sit there and jack off all the time, and all the girls knew. Like my friend Wendy Thompson, who I just found out passed away.
Aww.
I know. She went off the rails, but anyway, I shouldn't have said her. Whatever. She would say, "Oh, the guy in the red truck is over there." We would laugh about it. But if my dad knew, he'd probably like give me a .22 pistol to walk home with. Like, there was a lot of that, like, you know, jacking off and guys.
Men don't realize nice guys, mm-hmm. like people like our husbands mm-hmm. that are normal guys, mm-hmm. don't have no idea okay. So many guys are like, all right, with the Me Too. Like,
yeah,
is it really that? Like,
right.
Is every guy a predator?
Right.
Well, by the way, yes, they are.
Yeah.
So many – you guys out there have no idea
I know.
The amount of men that are
deviants
perverts. And perverts and have no – I can't tell you how many times I've seen the same thing.
Right?
That somebody's like jacked off in a car
now
or whipped their dick out.
I know. It was
yeah.
insane. Like in my neighborhood – that guy with the red truck, there was another guy like that in a car that would just like, you know, drive by and like laugh. And then like he'd pull over and he'd open the car door and he would just sit there with his cock out. And you don't realize as a kid, you don't know what you're seeing at first.
Right. Of course.
You just look over and you're like, you know, you're walking. And I mean, I could have been kidnapped or what. I don't know. Who knows? Like, but I had a lot of that in my neighborhood.
Me too.
There's probably a lot of pedophiles in my neighborhood. Well, I mean, now the neighborhood is really bad. But like when I was growing up, there was all of that. But I never told my dad because my dad would freak the fuck out. He also didn't let me go to my friend Wendy's house because she had a Doberman.
Oh my God, Dobermans! That was the big, that was the scary dog in those days,
right?
Yeah, when I was 12, our neighbor had a Doberman, and that was like the scariest dog in the neighborhood.
Totally.
Everybody was like, oh God.
The Doberman's going to fucking
rip you apart. That was the pit bull of the 70s.
Yeah, totally. The pit bull of the 70s. I was not allowed. She was my best friend. She lived across the street, four houses down. She was my age. We went to the same school. We walked together, but I could not go to her house. Well, one, because the mom, there was a divorce. She was a divorcee. She was a lawyer. She worked all day, so she was never home. So Wendy was a latchkey kid. She had an older brother. That was another red flag. So it was the mom never home, the older brother, and the Doberman. Why do you think they had a Doberman,
that is a,
by the
like
way?
A trifecta.
That was a trifecta. My dad was like, hell no. Turns out the Doberman was fine. The older brother was a dick. I remember he pinned me down and spit right in my face.
Okay, so one out of three.
Yeah.
You were getting protected. Mm-hmm.
And then I remember finding the bong for the first time and going, your mom smokes marijuana? Are you kidding? Like, because my mom and dad don't even drink. They don't even have friends. And her mom had like this bedroom with the waterbed. She had the waterbed.
Of course.
Right? And then she had like a whole wall of like albums, like Stevie Nicks and AC/DC. There was the Rolling Stones one with the zipper, the guy's jeans.
Yeah, Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers. I'd be like,
that was the coolest album cover ever.
Ever, I know, right? And I was not allowed. But I went over anyways. I didn't care.
First pot I ever smoked was my parents'.
Really?
Yeah, they kept it all in like film canisters, these black. Yeah, went in there, rolled a joint with my friend, and we smoked it, and nothing happened because I think my parents had shitty weed.
That's so funny.
Yeah, felt nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I was probably like 13.
Once I started really smoking pot, I remember going to Suzanne's house and raiding her stepdad Stan's. He'd have a box with like a pipe. I remember smoking his resin. Like I was desperate, like scraping it. And then he'd go, was Lynette over the weekend? He knew like I'd sneak it. Her parents totally smoked pot. They
I
still
love
do.
The difference is now we're like, oh my God, some girl came over and ate a muffin while walking around. We're like that. We're scandalized by that. We're like, who does that? That's crazy.
How dare she?
How dare she? What kind of a deviant? What kind of a demon seed eats a muffin on carpet? Walks over a rug.
That's so.
Yeah.
Look at us as parents.
Meanwhile,
now.
When I was 14, I was out drinking, like
oh,
getting drunk.
Oh my God!
Standing outside of liquor stores with the guy that I was like kind of dating
mm-hmm.
as a freshman in high school, mm-hmm. hoping that somebody would buy us a six pack of beer.
Yes. Valley Ho was our liquor store in the valley. Yes, we would do that. And then I remember when I was like 21 and the kids came up to me and said, would you buy beer? And I go, no. How much are you going to pay me? No. I think I did, actually. I think I got them some beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, we used to do that. I mean, and then I remember the first time I smoked pot, I coughed. I smoked it out of a bong from the girl, I almost said her whole name, Lisa, the girl who's had the stepdad. She slept with the stepdad of my other friend, Leslie.
Right.
Leslie's stepdad.
Right.
And my friend Lisa, who she was having an affair with. Lisa had a bong, and she was like, the first time I ever smoked pot was with her and Leslie and the three of us. And those two already smoked pot, and I didn't. Because I was scared because my parents were like, you don't ever do drugs. Your brain is going to explode. Like, I mean, they scared the bejesus.
Yeah.
So finally, when I saw my friends do it, I go, well, it must be fine. They're fine. So I remember coughing up a lung and feeling like my chest was on fire. And I was like, I think I need to go to the emergency room. And they're like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I go, I got to go. My chest.
That will be LB. LB will be like, I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Well, pot nowadays, too, is insane.
I just can't picture. I just think that these days our kids, we know where they are all the time.
I know.
Like, I feel like Elby would be really scared to try something
mm-hmm.
because she would know that I'm, like, waiting in the wings for, like, wait, you need a ride home? Where are you? What's mm-hmm. happening now?
Right.
You're at the mall? What do you want me to pick you up?
Right.
Like, they know they're going to see us
yes.
in a few hours. So, yeah. like – they'd have to really have like a – we always had long stretches of time where we had nowhere to be.
Right.
I mean, now they're all have activities and stuff that's happening.
I know.
But for us, it would be like, well, I don't have to be anywhere till like 9 o'clock.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, 9 a.m.
I know.
I don't have to be home till 9 p.m. I got plenty of time to come down from whatever I'm doing.
Right, right. That's what we did. Yeah. And now this house that we're moving into has security cameras. And Natalia had her friends over.
What time is it?
Natalia on Saturday night. I was there all day cleaning. I'll tell this on Friday's show. But Saturday evening, it occurred to her because Adam made them get up early and come to the house to help. Well, you know what they did? Nothing. They sat in each of their bedrooms on the floor because there's no furniture, just laid there on the floor on their phones. And Adam's like, put them to work. I'm going to the warehouse. And I was like, what? They're like, what do you want us to do? And I'm like, nothing. I don't know. Like scrub toilets. That's unrealistic. Sonny did do work, though. He did. She, on the other hand, who's on crutches, she was like, I can't work because I'm on crutches because she sprained her ankle at volleyball. So but then she got the idea. She was like, I go, well, there's a blanket. There's all those bags have blankets and sheets. Why don't you just take a bag, a blanket, because you're just laying there on the ground. Take a blanket out and lay on the blanket. So then she got the idea that I would have gotten, like, hey, can I have my friends? Well, first she said, how about me and Sonny camp out here and spend the night here? And I was like, yeah, right. First of all, your brother, he can't even sleep in his own bedroom. He can't make it 2 days without coming into my room. I'm scared. I have a bad dream. Can you come sleep in my bed? And then she goes, oh, how about – she goes, can I have Walking Muffin come over and that just hang out, like just listen to music here? I go, by yourselves tonight? She goes, yeah, and Isabel and Olivia and so-and-so. And so
I'm sure all their moms would be thrilled.
They all – they all
to
came.
Have a party at a house that there's
nobody,
no adults.
It's empty. I know. But, I mean, if you think about it, they come over when I'm not there sometimes when I'm not there anyway. So – they came over, but anyway, the best part was Natalia walked past one of the room, the brains of the house,
uh-huh.
And it has a monitor, and she walked by it. She stopped. Like, it was like out of a movie. Like, she stopped. She backed up, and she looked at it, and she goes, so you guys can see – wow. So those are the cameras all over the house? I go, yeah.
Oh, no.
And
love
I go
it.
And also, Ed's putting it on an app. No, I don't know. And I get to – like, I'll be able to look on my app and see what's going on. And she's like – oh, do you have the app hooked up already? I go, I don't know. I have to call Ed now. So she was like, oh, okay. But I still don't get any ideas. You can do this tonight for 2 hours and that's it. Like, can we stay till 10:30? I said, no, no.
So you let them stay alone at the house?
Yeah. Me and Adam, I was exhausted and we went to dinner, me, Adam, and Sonny. And then she had her like six girlfriends over with a blasting like Alexa that she brought over from our house. Blasting Justin Bieber and fuck, I hate that guy. And yeah, she had her friends over.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a good
yeah,
thing
we
to
got
talk
some
about on
from Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Friday's show. And Wednesday, there was more for Patreon
yes.
for you guys. We already recorded Patreon and it's a more therapy talk.
Yes.
I think you guys
I talk
will
about
enjoy it.
Therapy with Adam.
Rothy's. We haven't told you about Rothy's yet. Rothy's are stylish, sustainable, and comfortable shoes, you guys. These are like
really
these new
cute
flats. Yeah, that are really good for the environment and easy to pack.
Yes.
They're like bendable, very, very, very comfortable. We both have a pair of the sneakers.
I love those sneakers.
Yeah.
And they're really cute. Go to the website and look at them. It's the Vogue one.
Yeah.
And they're,
the Vogue
they're,
sneaker. That's
yeah.
what we have. They're so cute. They're those kind of cute, the new kind of sneakers that don't look like a running shoe.
Right. Yeah.
They're fashionable. Yeah. They make their shoes from recycled plastic water bottles. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's very cool. Mm-hmm. It's everyday fashion for people that, you know, care.
That right. And also they're machine washable, which is great. And like you said, you can roll them. They're easy. You can roll them up to pack and stuff. Like they got the flat. They got the pointer. They got the loafer. They got a whole bunch.
And they're machine washable.
Yeah.
You guys. So if you like those ballet flats or those cute sneakers like we like, then go get some. And here's how you do it. Go to Rothy's, which is spelled Rothys.com, and enter loud to get your favorite new flats plus free shipping. Okay, so use the promo code – oh, use the promo code LOUD. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that. Rothys.com, enter LOUD. Okay.
Meghan Markle wears them, yeah. Huh?
Also, let's think again, every plate. If you want every plate, go to everyplate.com and enter FCOL6. And also, we have a quick shout out for – if you're looking for another podcast, Podcast One also has – the What Now with Jessica Graff. It's the Big Brother contestant.
Yeah,
and she also won Amazing Race. She joins her hubby, Cody Nixon, as they navigate life after reality TV and the new waters of parenthood. That's kind of perfect for our show. So check it out. What Now with Jessica Graff. Okay.
That's a nice
also,
name.
Patreon. Right now, guys, we are still fully, fully doing Patreon.
Yes, we are
creating bonus content for you every week. So if you love our show and you want even more, you know, more personal stuff that we can't say on the regular show, go to Patreon, patreon.com, and look up FCOL and get in on the $5 level. And if you want the $50 level and we have some spots open, you can have a business shout out like Letty Molina, who works at HempWorks. HempWorks.com/L Molina. They do CBD oil, even bacon flavor for your doggies. Mm. She's our HempWorks girl. Also, Sarah Dean hosts Shameless Mom Academy. She helps moms find their identity again after motherhood. So check her out at shamelessmom.com. Also, if you're looking for another podcast, Comedy Film Nerds. These guys are hilarious. Graham Elwood and Chris Mancini, both my good friends. They talk movies. And you know what? They were highly recommended when I did their show Green Book.
Right.
And I just saw it and I loved it.
Yeah, was it good?
Loved it. So, Graham, that was a really good review you did on that show. The Wayne Foundation. It's a nonprofit that helps get girls out of the sex trafficking. So visit waynefdn.org to make a donation or see how you can get involved in that. And that's brought to you by Ulysses. And then Kate Marengo, Interior Chicago, bitch. She's going to pimp out your home, your car, your whatever. She's your office. She's going to make it look nice. InteriorChicago.com/interior-design.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your support.
You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.